Welcome to Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. Greg Richard, joined by Judy Sharp today. Great to see you once again, Judy.
Yeah, thanks for having me back, Chris, after a bit of a holiday.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah. Greg, sorry, did I call you Chris?
You called me Chris, but I let it slide.
Well, Chris was on the holiday.
Okay, rightio.
Yeah, so I've got his name on the brain a bit.
You just got constantly saying Chris all the time.
Yeah, I was probably. And Simon.
Well, and hopefully it was an enjoyable trip.
It was an enjoyable trip. Yeah, fantastic. Absolutely amazing. Yeah.
Good to be back, though. What have you got lined up for us today?
Well, we're going to talk about citrus. We're running a bit behind, so I've got a great list. Citrus. We're then going to talk about container-grown plants, meaning citrus. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about spring annuals.
All right.
Then we're going to talk about herbs.
It's jam-packed today.
Yep. And then we're going to talk about beans.
Right. I might have to write a list down to myself to remember all that. Of course, if you've got any questions for Judy Sharp, you can give us a call. And we've got Paul from Macquarie Hills. And Paul's got a question about his mango tree. Afternoon, Paul.
G'day, mate.
Hello, Paul. Judy. How are you?
I'm well. I've got a mango tree that's probably, wouldn't be 10 metres high. I got a bumper crop this year. I'm a bit old to get up on the ladder now to trim it. The reason for my call is... do I need an arborist or a nurseryman to cut it down?
Oh, look, I would say...
Not cut it down, trim it, sorry.
Trim it. Look, I would say you probably need someone that knows horticulture fairly well. There are a lot of people out there that have horticultural certificates that do... I actually have someone that comes and trims my really high trees... that I can't climb up either.
Well, that was my second question. Can you recommend anyone?
Well, I can, but perhaps if you left your phone number with the desk, is that all right, Greg?
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
Yep. If you left your phone number with the desk, Paul, I'll ring you when I get off air.
No, that'd be good.
Okay, not a problem.
Righto, it's just that I got a bumper crop this year and I don't want to mess it up by trying to, cut the lower ones myself.
Yes, no, that's understandable. So I'm sure I can help in that direction, not a problem.
Right, thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
Righto.
Bye.
Cheers, Paul. Thank you. And we've got Dennis from Spears Points, and he's got a question about passion fruits.
Hi, Dennis. Passion fruits. They're fruiting, I should imagine.
When are they supposed to shoot, or when are they supposed to get passion fruits on them?
Oh, you should have passion fruits now. We're coming up to the tail end.
I've had this tree in for 2 years, and I haven't had any passion fruits off it yet.
Right, okay. Now tell me, was it a grafted one when you bought it?
Oh, I don't know. I'm legally blind, so I just bought a passion fruit. Plant and put it in.
Well, it might have been a seedling grown one, you see, so sometimes they take a while to fruit. But Dennis, what you need to do is give it some sulphate of potash to encourage the fruiting. And it's in the ground, isn't it? It's not in a pot.
No, it's in the ground.
In the ground. And did you feed it up in spring?
There's leaves growing everywhere over the balcony of my unit, so... There's plenty of leaves on it.
Yeah, it's quite happy.
I've got a lavender plant in front of it. Someone said to me to put a lavender plant in front of it.
You know what that's for, don't you, Dennis? To attract the bees.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, but, you do need some sign of flowers for the bees to even do their job. So, I think...
Probably 12 months ago or... 18 months ago, there was a couple of purple flowers on it, but they just died off and haven't had any more.
Right, okay. Next question. Are you watering it regularly?
Yes.
You are. Okay. Well, how about we try the sulphate of potash now, which probably you might be too late, but it will kick it in for next year.
Okay.
Okay, sulphate of potash.
Okay.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thanks, Dennis.
Much.
Bye.
Bye.
It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. We've got a question, 49216 216. And we've got Steve from Dungog, who's also got a question about passion fruits.
Oh, hello, Steve.
Hello, Judy. How are you?
Oh, look, I'm feeling great. I have had a couple of weeks off and, it's been very enjoyable. And now I'm back answering the questions.
That's good to see you back on deck.
Oh, thank you, Steve. Now, what is going on with passion fruits? Last caller was having difficulty too.
Mine's gone mad. It's a Panama red, and it's a self-sown plant, and I dug it out from where it was and I put it somewhere else, and it's got magnificent fruit on it. They're over 3 inches across, and I've been doing what you just said about the sulfate of potash.
Right.
I've been giving it a bit of Thrive, and it's been flowering mad, and the new fruit that's coming on it. And I'm just wondering whether to cut them new fruits off now so the goodness goes back to the bigger fruit.
Oh, right, okay. Well, you have bigger fruit still on there?
Yes, yes, it is. Yeah. They just started to fall now, fall off
right,
the...
Right, okay.
There's no wrinkles in them, but they're starting to fall.
Well, we haven't got much hot weather left. I mean, we keep thinking summer's gone, but it keeps biting us in the bottom, doesn't it? So to speak. Look, I'm inclined to agree with you. Maybe cut the smaller ones off because there won't be much chance of them ripening, particularly in Dungog, because you probably are going to get cold nights, aren't you?
Yeah, we're down sometimes around 13 to 15.
Yeah, well, that sounds wonderful. But, look, I agree with you. Let's cut off the smaller ones.
Yes, okay, yep, no worries.
And enjoy the big ones.
Yes, yeah, they're still starting to tinge up.
Good.
Years ago I had a Panama Gold. And will it throw back to the Panama Red or not?
Look, it could. Sometimes the grafts are a bit, they do their own thing. It may revert back, but then again, if you're having passions on it, it probably will hang in.
Yes, yep.
Okay.
Yep, no worries. Well, thank you very much for that, Judy.
Steve, you are very welcome. Ring us anytime.
Well, we've got Lynn from Chisholm, and she's got a question about zucchini plants.
My zucchini plant is now taking over my whole backyard and garden. I have no zucchini, but I have some flowers. I don't know whether to pull it out and forget zucchini or what to do with it.
Right, okay. Well, look, as I said earlier on, we're still getting quite a lot of heat, which, will benefit you, of course. But are you seeing any bees around the garden on the, to get in the flowers?
I've got a few, but not a lot.
Right.
We've got plenty of lavender planted and, some sort of other flowering plants to encourage
attract
bees.
Yeah. Look, you could cross-pollinate them, of course.
Yes.
But then again, I'm thinking at the moment, hit them with a bit of sulphate of potash.
Okay.
To prolong your flowering, because I think we're not going to get cold weather for some time, and that's what you're needing now. So let's see how that works.
Okay. I will do that and see how we go.
Okay. Ring us back, Lynn, and let us know.
Shall do. Thanks, Judy.
Thank you. Bye.
We got Beck now from Madawi, and she's got a question about macadamia trees.
Hello, Beck.
Judy, I have two macadamia trees in my backyard, and they're starting to get excessively large, too large. When can I cut it back, and how aggressive can I be to cut it back without losing the plant?
Oh, well, don't be too aggressive. But tell me, has it fruited this year?
No, it's only March, it would have been a few months ago.
Okay, so it fruited quite well?
Oh, yeah, they're both great producing plants.
Oh, that's good.
Both of them are terrific. I don't get many, the cockatoos beat me, but they both produce a lot.
Oh, well, that's wonderful, because Greg and I, we really love macadamia nuts. But anyway, look, let's be sensible about this, Beck, shall we? We could laugh all day. It's it's nice to have a laugh, isn't it? Look, I think, dear, I think you probably need... Are you able to do it yourself or do you need someone that's a bit specialised?
No, I can do it just fine.
Right, okay. Well, probably the simplest way for you to go is, do you Google?
I do.
Oh, right, okay. Well, because, you know, I would be here giving you long, lengthy explanations, and that might be the quickest way to go. Okay. So just Google and, you know, Google pruning of macadamia trees.
Is there a better month to do it or, I don't know?
Look, I think we need to do it before winter comes.
Okay. So I've got a couple of months. Excellent.
Yep. So you've got a bit of time. I don't think it's coming in a hurry this year.
Okay, terrific. Okay. Thanks,
Bec. Love to hear how you go.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I think we've got Jan back from Morisset. Is that you, Jan?
I just wanted to ask you about, I've got a staghorn and an elk horns, yep. And out of the centre of the fronds, there's chewed up leaves and it's like ant soil coming there.
Right. Okay. You could have that little beetle that gets in them.
Oh, is
yeah.
it?
So what you need is a product called Carbaryl and water right. it through the back of them.
Oh, right out.
Yeah, and, yeah. You know, don't do any more than that. You might have to follow up in about 10 days' time, but I'm pretty sure that's what you've got, dear. So we've
Good.
Solved that pretty quickly for you, so get on the job and see if you can kill the little devils.
Right, and I also wanted to ask you, is it all right to repot shrubs now?
Oh, yes, yeah, we've got plenty of warm weather to go.
Rightio, thank you. Okay. Thank you so much, Judy.
You're quite welcome.
We got David from Weston. He's got a question about fruit fly.
Hello, David. Fruit fly. What are they
Hello,
in?
Jen. No, I'm reporting back. I spoke to you last time you were on air and you asked me to let you know how I went.
Oh, right, so, okay. It's a while since I've been here. I've been a bit...
Yes, I know.
I've been a bit tardy, haven't I? Now, well, tell me about the fruit fly.
I'm still battling them, still having problems.
Right.
I consulted the oracles at Men's Shed Gardening section and their advice was sour orange juice, apple cider vinegar and sugar in a container with a square flap cut and left open so that the fruit fly could get in and the rain wouldn't. I've probably got eight of those containers. Haven't caught one fruit fly in it. I'm persisting with the Vegemite and
Malathon.
Painted on a number of stakes that I've also painted yellow to attract them. But still battling them. And I've put some commercial fruit fly traps from Bunnings up and there. They're working, but I'm still getting fruit fly. I grow a number of different varieties of tomato and one called Nonna's Roma tomatoes seems to do much better against the fruit fly than the more traditional, you know, Grand Vissies and that sort of thing. So I'm still battling them, still not winning, but I thought I'd let you know we can't get the really good insecticide we could get 2 years ago. I haven't sprayed them with pyrethrin. I've got some, but they're still flowering and I don't want to affect the bees. So just putting up with it.
Oh, David, look, we have got a bit of a solution here. That's for next season. You know, only buy those Romas, and I find they have a thicker skin. The little Romas, don't you find that even when you cut them? So
maybe
that's a deterrent for the fruit fly. And buy the little babies the sweet bite.
Yeah. We're going to put cherries in next year. Anyway, I just thought I'd report in.
Oh, look, thank you very much, David.
Nothing seems to work.
What about the men's shed, though? Should we have mentioned them? They could all be listening, you know.
Oh, they grow some amazing produce. I don't know whether you're aware, but Cessnock Men's Shed supply a lot of plants for council and for schools and et cetera. They've got a huge nursery where they grow a lot of native plants.
Oh, David, that's excellent, isn't it? That's wonderful. So you go there, do you?
I do occasionally, yes.
Right. Well, you know,
they do a fantastic job.
No, I'm glad that you've mentioned that today, because a lot of these people are unsung heroes, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Thank you very much, David. And let's go next. We want to hear from you next season now. And you're definitely not going to go those Grosleys or anything like that. Not the big round ones. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, David, for the call. I really appreciate you ringing back.
Okay. Bye, Judy.
Bye.
Well, we've got Bobby now from Newcastle, and he's got a question about the Christmas bell.
Hello, Bobby.
Hi, Judy.
I hope you're not going to ask me how... Oh, I'm going well, thank you. I've had a little holiday and, you know, and now I'm back firing up, I hope.
Oh, wonderful.
Now, what can I help you with Christmas bells?
I rang you late last year and told you I remember as a young lad, I used to be able to go not too far from here and get big bunches of them and bring them into the markets to sell them at Christmas time.
Right.
But they all have disappeared. All the land's been cleared.
Yep.
And you said there might be somewhere where I could get my hands on some seed to reinvigorate the species, so to speak.
Oh, that would have been from the Diggers Club. Was that correct? Is that who I mentioned?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, you said leave it with you and ring back.
Oh, right. So that was before Christmas, was
yeah.
it? Okay, well, we...
You might have to leave it with you once again, I think, Judy.
Well, Bobby, you know, I mean, obviously we're past Christmas now and they might have been available, but you need to contact the Diggers Club on the Mornington Peninsula.
Oh, right.
And, you know, they're very good. They have catalogues. They're very famous for the seed that they grow that you can't get anywhere else. But you will find them listed on the phone book or on the exchange or on the internet. But we're looking for the Diggers Club, DIGGERS.
Right. Okay. I've got that.
Let's, you know, approach it now so you're not missing out.
Yeah.
And then we'll hear from you next year again after Christmas.
Well, do you know anything about them, like the soil, what sort of soil? Because
Bobby, they're
I
not
just
easy.
Used to pick them out of the bush.
Yeah, but they're not easy to grow.
Oh, I know.
It's like the New South Wales Christmas bush. You know, I mean, my experience was that you grew three before you achieved one. Now, you know, you go up to Nelson's Bay and they're growing wild everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's very sandy, so, you know, Christmas bells probably like it a bit lighter too.
Yeah, that from memory, it was a pretty loamy sort of soil that I got them from.
Yeah. Yeah, well, okay, Diggers Club, and let's see what happens next year.
Okay, thank you very much, Jim.
Oh, you're welcome, Bobby. Good luck with it.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
We've got Carmel now from Lochinvar, and she's got a question about the lemon tree.
Hello, Carmel. How are you going?
Hey. We got
Hello.
You.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, Judy. How are you going?
I'm going very well, thank you. And yourself?
Yeah, good, Dar.
That's well. Good.
So I bought a lemon tree from Heritage Gardens.
Yep.
It's one of those dwarf ones, lots of lemons.
Yep.
And I'm getting, it's still in the pot, and I have it on my alfresco area, but I'm finding it's getting a lot of yellow leaves. I've sprayed some white oil on it, and I also read up that you need to put coffee in the soil, but I haven't found anything that it's not doing any good.
Right, okay. Carmel, I was going to deal with citrus today, but we've been so busy.
I've noticed.
Is it growing in a pot?
Yes, it is.
Right, okay. Now, what you need to do, for safety's sake, you can't use citrus food on a pot because it will burn them. So the product I use is Sudden Ink Pack for roses.
Oh, Sudden Impact, yep.
Yeah, because... It likes, roses like alkaline soil, as do lemon trees.
Okay, yep.
Now, do you have Sudden Impact? If not,
I can buy some, yeah.
Yeah, where you bought it would have sudden impact.
Yep.
Yeah, so let's go with that and see if that helps. But, you know, at the moment, well, I mean, probably not as bad as it was earlier in the summer, but you could be watering that every day in a pot.
Yeah, I do water it every day, but should I be using the white oil spray on it?
No, no, not unless you're seeing some insects.
Right, okay, so that's not going to stop the yellow oil, the yellow leaves.
The yellowing, no, not at all. Sudden impact's okay. The answer.
All right, well, I'll try the sudden impact because I do water it every day. I thought it might have been because it was on the alfresco area.
It's getting the full sun, isn't it? Is it getting the full sun?
Well, part sun. Normally the sun in the afternoon it does, but not in the morning.
All right, afternoon sun's probably the hottest, particularly where you live.
Yeah.
So,
just give it a bit of sudden impact.
Sudden impact, and let's keep our fingers crossed. Let us know.
I will do. Thanks, Judy.
Thank you, Carmel. Bye.
Thank you. All right, bye.
And we've got Dennis from Belmonts, and he's got a question about ants in his tree.
Ooh, Dennis.
Hello, Judy. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. That's an interesting topic.
Yeah. Well, it's about 4 metres. It's been in there for a long time, like 15 years. And I noticed some of the taller branches are all dying. On further looking at it, ants, and they're absolutely covered in them. And they've eaten holes into the main trunk and up the branches, and it just absolutely millions. The other night there was so many, I got a flame gun and let them have it with that. And it knocked them over. But the next day, they're all out again.
Dennis, I think you've got borers.
Borers?
I think they're borers.
And then the ants are following them in.
They could be.
Yeah.
But if you've got branches dying, that generally is an indicator. So all you can do is, you know, on the trunk where you're seeing all the ants,
yes,
try and clean that out of the ants. I mean, you have started doing that, obviously, if it was a flame. do you want the tree, Dennis? Do you want the tree?
Well, yeah, it's getting that close. There's got to be none left.
No, well, maybe it's time to chop him out and plant a new one. But anyway, look, let's get rid of the ants out of it and see. And you have to go in and just, you know, with something sharp and see if you've got, like, sawdust under the ants.
Yes. Well, I did burn a branch that was about 75 thick and it had died. And I put the flame gun... And it started catching fire, and I let it go. And as it burnt down, the whole centre was all covered in dust.
Yeah, well, that's what you've got. You've got borers, so...
Is it borers?
Yeah, borers. It might be time to get the axe out, and if it's a native, you might have to get permission to cut it down.
Oh, a tipicina.
Oh, no, you can... Yeah, we can get rid of that. That's not a problem. But maybe don't get the flame gun out again. Just get the...
It's so efficient.
It sounds like it was. Okay, let's just get the axe out now and chop him down.
I will.
Okay.
And, Judy, I've got the number for Diggers Club, if you want it.
Oh, look, I do, but that gentleman's gone now.
Has he?
But okay. I've got it as well, so...
Okay. And the other thing was the citrus I've got in the beginning, before they flower, I spray it with a mixture of sugar and water, and it's like 50 grams.
Right.
I can't remember how much sugar it is now. A lot of sugar, anyway, like 3 cups.
Right.
Dissolve that and then spray that over the plant.
Right, okay.
And I had a lot of success with that.
Right, so what was that preventing, though, Dennis?
Well, I think it must be they didn't like the stickiness.
Right, okay.
You know, when they land.
Right.
But I had it for years, and I noticed this year I haven't got any this year.
Right, okay. Well, that's interesting, and anyone that's listening would take that advice on board.
Yeah, it's always good. It works for them as it did for me.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks very much, and let's get the axe out, Dennis.
I'll get it out right away. Thanks, Judy.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
A good time for one more caller, and we've got Carol from Newcastle, and she's got a question about frangipanis.
Hello, Carol. What can I help you with?
Judy, my frangipani buds keep falling off before they open. Ah. And it's in a pot. The plant is in a pot on the front balcony overlooking the harbour, and it gets the sun.
And it's also getting the salt, Carol.
Oh, bugger.
Well, you know, I'm glad you said it and not me, because they would have sacked me.
Oh, dear. I do apologise.
No, that's all right. that's fine. That's fine. But, okay, Carol, where you are, of course, the salt is a problem. So about every 3 days, just put it on a fine spray and hose the plant down.
Okay, I'll use an atomizer.
Yeah, because it does build up. It doesn't actually come on the wind. It's when the wind blows, it's already in there and it burns it. But
it settles.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's why your frangipani aren't opening. But my next question is, are you watering it every day?
I check the soil to see what it's like. But in the summertime, in this heat, I've been doing it of an evening.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So you think, you know, it's getting adequate water.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I'm not giving it enough water. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking.
Right.
As long as you're watering it every day. Look, honestly, sometimes, like when we get those 43-degree days, you would be giving it two drinks.
Okay.
Yep, so
yeah, it's like me having two. It's like me having two drinks of bubbles on the hot days.
Sounds like it's Oscar Day today, isn't it? Go for it, Carol. Go for it, darling.
Okay. Well, Judy, thank you so much. I will follow your advice and and let us hope the frangipani and I can stay friends. Otherwise, it's going to have to go.
Oh, no. Let's give it another year.
Okay.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you, Judy.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Carol. It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. Judy Sharp, we've sadly run out of time. Flew by today.
What about all these things I want to talk about, Craig?
We'll have to talk about them next week.
Oh, okay.
Saves you a bit of writing.
Spring annuals and everything.
Exactly. That's next week on 2NURFM.
Thank you, Greg. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. Topics range from gardening to health, well-being, pet care and travel. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.